Hello and welcome to this episode of the Macro Minutes podcast. I'm your host, Keerthana Tiwari. We are 1.5 months away from the 2021-22 budget, and Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman is expected to go big on public spending as economic revival is the government's biggest priority at this point. In today's episode, we have Money Control's Arup Roy Chowdhury to talk about what is expected from the budget and how we may see the biggest health sector outlay yet. Welcome to the show, Arup.
Hi, Keetana. Good evening.
Good evening. What have we heard so far about what the budget can bring?
The preparations are all in full swing. And this is going to be probably the most important budget that the Narendra Modi government presents. Clearly, this budget, the backdrop, everybody knows that this budget comes at a time when the whole world has been hit by the whole global economy, has been hit by a pandemic, by the COVID-19 pandemic. And it has laid low economies around the world. People have lost their jobs, businesses have shuttered. Sectors like aviation, tourism, hospitality will take an even longer time to recover.
Right.
And now, obviously, there has been some positive developments on the, you know, as far as the Indian economy is concerned. After a minus 23.9% GDP fall in April-June quarter, the economy is on a way to recovering, because July-September quarter, we saw a contraction of 7.5%. And there is certain signs of recovery, which we have seen throughout August, September, October, be it GST, be it vehicle sales, be it railway freight, be it power distribution and power generation, be it UPI transactions, be it direct and indirect tax receipts by the government, be it manufacturing data. So things are looking up. However, obviously the economy is not out of the woods yet. It is in this backdrop that the Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman and her team in the Finance Ministry are preparing the 2021-22 budget, which is likely to be presented on February 1st, 2021. Now, based on what we have heard so far, the main theme of the budget, the biggest stress point of the budget obviously will be economic recovery, job creation. Now, as a part of that, obviously the areas where the government thinks the most jobs will be created will be through one huge investment into infrastructure. For them, infrastructure projects, especially the large infrastructure projects, are what you call a high, will come with what we call a high multiplier effect.
Okay.
The more people you employ in these infrastructure projects, the more jobs will be created and the more demand will be resurrected. Another aspect of job creation is obviously MSME, the small and medium enterprises. They are the primary employers of this country, and obviously something is expected to be done on that. Now, to support all this, from what we are hearing, the government is planning a record public spending outlay. Public spending includes capital expenditure, grants for creation of capital assets, the money you give to states for certain schemes, the money you yourself spend under certain schemes. This year, the capital expenditure of the government, and the budget was obviously made before the pandemic, the budgeted capital expenditure of the government this year was 4.13 lakh crore. And that was increased when all these announcements were made. Atmanirbhar Bharat 1, Atmanirbhar Bharat 2, Atmanirbhar Bharat 3. When all these announcements were made, the capex was increased slightly by some 35,000 crore. Some 35,200 crore. So from 4.13 lakh crore, it was increased slightly by 35,200 crore.
Okay.
Next, we're expecting a record capital expenditure. Okay. It can be 6 to 7 lakh crore or even higher. And there'll obviously be an increased outlay on public health infrastructure and COVID-related outlay, a one-time provisioning for COVID, which we will come to later. And there'll be money extra. There'll be a lot of money given to states in under certain schemes. That's what we are expecting. Money for a lot of schemes which will create jobs and this per demand will also, you know, be there on the cards. Now the question is, at a time when revenue is stressed. Next year also revenue is expected to be stressed to a little because the economic contraction that we saw in the pandemic, it will not be made up for suddenly next year. It's not that the activity will return to 2019-2018 levels in 2021.
Right.
It will take some time. So that means tax revenues and other sort forms of revenues will also be affected. So the other question is, how is the government so confident of spending so much when the revenues perhaps may not be what, you know, the kind of revenues we saw in earlier years? Now, this is where we come to the issue of government's fiscal consolidation roadmap. Now, the Narendra Modi government, first under finance, the late finance minister Arun Jaitley, and now under finance minister Nirmala Sitharaman, they have been on a path of fiscal consolidation. For those of our listeners who have not been following economic policy as closely, a fiscal deficit is essentially the difference between the expenditure and the revenues of the government. When revenues is more than expenditure, it is a fiscal surplus. When expenditure is more than revenue, it's a fiscal deficit. Now it's always measured in terms of as percentage of nominal GDP. The current existing fiscal responsibility and budget management act sees a medium-term fiscal deficit of 3%, 3.1%. It's never been reached, but it's always there as a medium-term
target. Right.
This year, the target, the fiscal deficit target was supposed to be 3.5% of GDP. Now, on one hand, GDP is also going to be much lower than what was anticipated. On the other hand, this year, revenues have been, the sources of revenues have been really short. And obviously, because of the COVID pandemic, the central government's expenditure commitments have also decreased. For various schemes and the various announcements they have made under these Atmanirbhar Bharat programs and earlier Garib Kalyan Yojana programs, providing food to the most affected, providing direct cash benefits. They have increased the fertilizer subsidy outlay. They have increased the allocation under NAREGA and other schemes. So obviously, the expenditure commitments have increased. This means that this year, instead of 3.5% of GDP, the fiscal deficit will be anywhere close to 7 to 8% of GDP. Right? So that is the starting point from which they will gradually come down next year.
Okay.
Right. So you don't have to. So in a normal year, they would have tried to meet 3.5% of GDP and from there gradually come down to 3%. Now that they are expecting this year to be 7 to 8% of GDP, it is from this point that they expect the fiscal deficit to gradually come down. So next year we could see between, you know, if it's 8% this year, next year we could see 7 to 7.5% or 6.5 to 7%. So that's a huge gap. So that gives them a huge fiscal breathing room, a fiscal gap, right? So that means they can spend a lot more than they earn. And as the finance minister said recently, she said at a summit hosted by Reuters, and then she also told Bloomberg, that fiscal considerations are there, but this is not something she's thinking about right now. She said that this is the time to spend, this is the time for greater public spending, and this is what she's going to do. Analysts, industries, everyone wants the government to spend, and from all likelihood, they will spend. This budget will have a huge public spending bonus.
Right. And what will be the role of the Finance Commission in how the budget will shape up?
Yeah. So this is where it gets interesting, because see, the Finance Commission, essentially, there is one thing which the government is constitutionally mandated. One recommendation of the Finance Commission, the government is constitutionally mandated to take into account, which is the devolution from the divisible tax pool. Of the divisible tax pool, how much is going to go to the states and how much is going to go to the from states, how much is going to go to the municipal bodies and the panchayats?
Okay.
What percentage of the total divisible pool? Obviously, that will affect the government's budget. But more importantly, there are other recommendations which the government may or may not take into account. One of the recommendations from what we have heard, as we have written, is that the Finance Commission has given the government a range to target. Instead of a single number, the Finance Commission has given the government a range. So instead of targeting, say, 6% of GDP, a fiscal deficit of 6% of GDP, the government can target 6 to 6.5% of GDP. So that obviously gives them room. That a range will obviously give you more relaxation. And from what we are hearing, as we wrote earlier this week, when we wrote a story about how the budget is expected to be big on public spending, that there has been enough relaxation, fiscal relaxation recommended by the Finance Commission till 2025-2026, which is the end year of their 5-year award period.
Okay.
So the government's the fact that the government is not constrained by strict fiscal considerations is largely down to what the Finance Commission has recommended to the government. That is a very important thing, because the government can always turn back and say, it is the 15th Finance Commission which has spoken to us, which has spoken to states, which has taken a holistic view of the India's entire macroeconomy and the COVID-19 situation, and allowed us to relax our fiscal consolidation roadmap. So that's where the Finance Commission comes in.
Can we expect any changes in the healthcare and public healthcare and COVID-19 situation? I mean, what kind of changes will we expect in the budget on that front?
Yeah, see, now, as we wrote today, the government is likely that there's been discussions. Obviously, there's still time. We are still in the early part of December. They will be having discussions on the budget throughout December. And in fact, a lot of these numbers are not finalized till about the second or third week of January. So these discussions are still going on. But from what we are hearing, there's talk of a one-time provisioning for COVID-19. Why one-time provisioning? Because we are seeing that the vaccines are coming in, a number of vaccines globally and in India are in the process of getting approval. A lot of countries have started vaccinating. India is also planning a huge vaccination program. So it is a one-time charge that, you know, this charge will not be, you know, repeated year after year. That's why it's a one-time provision. It could be as much as 80,000 crore. This one-time provisioning for COVID could be as much as rupees 80,000 crore as we have written today.
Right.
Now, what it could be spent on? Number one, logistics, transporting the vaccine, manufacturing. Of course, the private sector will be involved, but a lot of that needs to come from the government also. A lot of the money needs to come from the government also. Manufacturing, transportation, and distribution, inoculation, right? Because ultimately, reaching out to the last mile, reaching out to all your citizens, that is something, the onus of which will have to be on the government. Private sector will, of course, pitch in terms of manufacturing and distribution and logistics. But a government will have to play a huge role. Plus, a lot of this money could also be spent on improving the public healthcare system. Because if one thing that COVID-19 has done, it has shown the limitations of India's public health.
Right.
So, you know, this could lead to, obviously, you know, more focus on research and development when it comes to pandemics and infectious diseases. It could lead to, a better focus on healthcare when it comes to dealing with situations, with pandemic-like situations, or dealing with infectious diseases. So a lot of it obviously will also be used to improve our public healthcare system. Plus, it will also be used for the basic part of manufacturing, transporting, storing, distributing, and inoculating of the COVID-19 vaccine. And also, the 15th Finance Commission had recommended, from what we had written earlier, the 15th Finance Commission had recommended a lot of healthcare sector-related increases in expenditure. For example, they had recommended that India's combined public health expenditure, that is center plus states, should be increased to 2.5% of GDP by 2023-24. You know, and this is nearly the double of the 1.26% center and states combined of GDP, which was spent in 2019-20. Because India ranks right now 184th out of 191 nations in terms of healthcare spending as a percent of GDP.
Right.
So that has to be improved, right? So this is also where the Finance Commission comes in. Also, they have recommended a dedicated central cadre of medical officers. Just like the Indian Administrative Service, Indian Forest Service, Indian Police Service, they're also recommending an Indian Medical Service.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that could also, you know, from what we are hearing, the government has accepted those recommendations and they will reflect in the budget. So this budget, expect a lot of focus on healthcare, on spending for COVID-19, on the India's health infrastructure, expect a lot of budget on general infrastructure, job creation, small and medium enterprises, and a lot of public spending. Yeah, and of course, the old focus like agriculture and all that stays.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be a lot of focus. Basically, this budget will all be about reviving India from what we are hearing so far. And that is likely to be what we see the finance minister do announce on February 1st.
Right. But after COVID, will these reforms in the health care sector and how they allocate money to health sector, will that change?
So that's what, as I mentioned, that while that 80,000 crore will be is seen as a one-time provisioning, right, other reforms like increasing India's healthcare spending as a percent of GDP, that is a permanent reform. And okay, so is the creation of a dedicated cadre of medical officers. Increasing health spending, creating more public health infrastructure, this is something which is beyond COVID. Right. Right? This is there to stay.
Okay.
You take your lessons from what has happened in the past 1 year. You take your lessons from what has happened to India's public healthcare system and the flaws that have been exposed, and you look to improve it.
Thank you, Arup, for all these details.
Thank you, Kirtana.
Before we wind up this podcast, we want you to know about PitchRight, a live funding show for startups. This show is brought to you by Money Control in partnership with Inflection Point Ventures. And you can watch the live finale on December 19th to see which startup takes home the bounty. It's also a good opportunity to learn more about how to get funded, so don't miss it. For more details on this, do log on to the Money Control website. With that, it's a wrap on this episode of Macro Minutes. If you have any other queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.